A 19-year-old Simone de Beauvoir stands in her family's Paris apartment, locked in heated debate with her father about love's true meaning. This seemingly ordinary moment in 1927 marks the beginning of an extraordinary intellectual journey. Though her groundbreaking work, The Second Sex, would eventually sell millions and inspire generations of feminists, Beauvoir's reputation has long been overshadowed by her relationship with Jean-Paul Sartre. Even today, many know her primarily as Sartre's companion rather than the philosophical powerhouse she truly was. Yet, Beauvoir's influence extends far beyond feminist circles. Michelle Obama cites her as a formative influence, while philosophers continue mining her work for insights on ethics, aging, and human freedom. Her revolutionary assertion that one is not born, but rather becomes a woman, transformed our understanding of gender decades before such ideas entered mainstream discourse. Despite being denied entry to France's elite institutions because of her gender, Beauvoir outperformed her male peers academically, becoming the youngest person ever to pass France's prestigious philosophy examination, placing ahead of both Sartre and Merleau-Ponty. Born into declining aristocracy in 1908 Paris, Beauvoir navigated conflicting worlds. Her father praised her man's brain while treating her differently as a female, and her Catholic mother enforced gender norms while supporting her intellectual growth. Though academically brilliant, Beauvoir struggled socially. Her closest friend was Elizabeth Zaza Lecoyne, whose early death deeply affected Beauvoir and illustrated how social expectations constrained even privileged women's freedom. As a religious child, Beauvoir found solace in the idea that God valued all souls equally. However, she noticed the stark contrast between preached equality and practiced inequality, particularly engendered religious obligations. Through voracious reading, Beauvoir discovered literary heroines like Jo March and Maggie Tulliver, who offered alternatives to conventional female roles. Books became her sanctuary and showed paths of resistance to traditional expectations. At 16, Beauvoir discovered philosophy and found her intellectual home. Though her father dismissed it as gibberish and her mother feared moral corruption, she persisted, declaring all other disciplines poor relations. Her early philosophical interests centered on freedom. She wrote that man isn't born, but rather becomes free, an idea that would later echo in her famous statement about womanhood. Despite women's exclusion from prestigious institutions, Beauvoir excelled through Catholic schools, earning 3 certificates of higher studies in a single year, when most completed only one. A pilgrimage to Lourdes marked a turning point. Witnessing the sick seeking healing, she felt shame about her own sorrows. While initially believing complete self-abnegation was the answer, she concluded that, having been given life, she must live it fully. Complete self-sacrifice would be moral suicide. By 1927, Beauvoir had developed strong convictions about freedom and choice. She saw choices not as permanent decisions, but as ongoing acts of consciousness. This led her to view marriage as fundamentally immoral, questioning how one's present self could make binding decisions for one's future self. The common belief that Jean-Paul Sartre shaped Beauvoir's intellectual foundation in 1929 oversimplifies her journey. Her diaries show she had already developed sophisticated ideas about freedom, ethics, and human relationships before their meeting. Sartre wasn't her first intellectual romance. In spring 1929, Beauvoir formed a deep connection with René Mahieu, whom she saw as a real man who opened up paths she yearned to explore. When meeting Sartre that July, she was initially unimpressed, finding his gifts atrocious. Their famous open relationship pact formed in October 1929, with Sartre becoming her life's witness, a role once filled by parents or God. Yet Beauvoir's diaries reveal ongoing feelings for Mahieu and Jacques Champignon, along with doubts about her arrangement with Sartre. Though she later portrayed herself as intellectually dependent on Sartre, her diaries tell a different story. Before him, she was already deeply engaged with philosophers like Leibniz, Spinoza, and Kant, developing original interpretations that would influence both their thinking. In January 1947, Beauvoir's four-month American journey transformed her intellectual perspective. In Chicago, she met Nelson Algren, a novelist who wrote about America's underbelly. Despite language barriers, they formed an immediate connection. At Algren's home in a working-class Polish neighborhood, she encountered an America far from diplomatic circles and luxury hotels, an experience that shaped her views on social inequality and human relationships. Their relationship blossomed into romance, and on May 10, Algren gave her a Mexican silver ring that she wore for life, even after their relationship ended. During this period, Beauvoir published Femininity: The Trap in Vogue, introducing key feminist ideas. She challenged the eternal feminine, a myth she believed men created with women's complicity. Through her observations of American society, she identified how women faced a unique dilemma. Professional success often diminished their perceived feminine value, while men encountered no such conflict. When Beauvoir published The Second Sex in 1949, she faced unprecedented ridicule. Her chapter on women's sexual experiences as subjects rather than objects sparked particular outrage. Catholic novelist François Mauriac deemed her writing abject, questioning its place in philosophical discourse. Chapters on lesbianism and maternity sold rapidly but drew harsh criticism. Beauvoir was labeled frigid, nymphomaniac, lesbian, and worse. These attacks revealed how her ideas threatened the social order. The Second Sex revolutionized feminist thought by exposing how sexual objectification perpetuates women's oppression. Volume 1 examined the construction of femininity, while Volume 2 analyzed womanhood from women's perspectives across life stages, combining philosophy with sociology, personal accounts, and literature. Beauvoir broke new ground by addressing topics the elite dismissed: household labor, workplace dynamics, and women's sexuality. She revealed how everyday experiences reinforced women's subordination. Her assertion that one is not born, but rather becomes a woman, challenged biological determination and pioneered the concept of gender as a social construct. In her later years, Beauvoir co-founded the League of Women's Rights, advocating for anti-sexist legislation and amplifying women's voices. She acknowledged her earlier belief that ignoring barriers was the best way to overcome them had been misguided. When Sartre died in 1980, Beauvoir was devastated, remaining by his hospital bed until the end. She continued her work until shortly before her death on April 14, 1986, hours before Sartre's death anniversary. Postmortem media coverage revealed persistent sexism, with Le Monde dismissing her work as more popularization than creation. Yet Beauvoir was buried wearing her signature red turban, bathrobe, and Nelson Algren's ring, as mourners proclaimed, "Women, you owe her everything." While resisting confinement to a feminist concrete block, Beauvoir maintained her relationship with Sartre was one of equals. She viewed herself as a becoming that never stopped, acknowledging that there is no instant in a life where all moments are reconciled. Her legacy reminds us that no one becomes herself alone. Beauvoir's life demonstrates that becoming oneself is an ongoing act of creation through choices, relationships, and the courage to challenge established norms.